If God never breaks a promise, are you living with the awe and hope that comes from a judge who's always just and a father who's relentlessly faithful? How does knowing God always keep his word, both in warning and in blessing, shape the way you approach obedience, repentance, and hope in daily life? Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you are enjoying these devotions. And if you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in your Washington Defender huddle. Also, if you're new to FPIW or FPIW Action, check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Today, we're going to talk about God's judgment, and it's a serious judgment. You know it's Old Testament Tuesday, and we like to dive into the Old Testament, get from God's word, and learn from Israel and those around that we may walk in a righteous way before God. But as we dive in, I'm going to give you the end in mind because it's going to be a longer devotional. And so you may not be able to complete it on your drive in, but if you have the end in mind, it'll be better. So as we talk about God's judgments, the first thing I want you to know is that you are forewarned, therefore God is just. And so he is a just God. He loves us. He forewarns us that judgment is coming, that God keeps his word and is faithful to perform it. He doesn't ever break his commandments or his own word. And so when you're looking at scripture, whether Old Testament or New, you need to begin to think, am I making an excuse for my sinful behavior there? Or is that something that God's convicted me of and I need to repent and turn to the living God and ask for him for mercy from him? And number three is that humans can live in such a way that it is an abomination to God. I know our culture and society today says that's not possible. God loves everyone. God cares about everyone. God, you know, all these kind of things. And of course, God loves us. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to fulfill his judgments or his promises, especially when he's forewarned us of those things. So let's dive in. What we're going to do is we're going to work our way to Ezekiel chapter 5, but we're going to start 1,500 to 2,000 years prior to that, where God gave warnings and forewarned Israel about how they were to be. So the first one is Leviticus 18:4. It says, "You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God." So Leviticus, through the prophet Moses, gave us this command that we should observe and keep his commandments. And so we've been forewarned, number one. Number two, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord your God." So we see we're forewarned. He says, hey, I'm telling you, keep my statutes and my judgments, and a man should live by them. Being forewarned, number three, he says this in Leviticus 25:18. "So you shall observe." So we got keeping them. We have observing them. That we should observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them. You notice that performing comes out many, many times, and you will dwell in the land safely. So he says, you're going to have safety in the land if you do these things. That is very important, because if you just jump into Ezekiel and you think, wait, why is God taking away their safety? Well, they didn't keep his commands. You're going to see that. A forewarning number four. If you despise God, it says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not bear their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat you." Now, you say that is abrupt. That is intense. Well, God tells them this, 1,000 to 1,500 years ahead of time. And he says, hey, I want you to know that you've been forewarned about what God is. Look at this one. "Concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, as executes my judgments, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David." So we see that he gives us a forewarning about the temple of God as well. Number five, it says, now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in the integrity of your heart and in the uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. So it's important. He's saying you got to walk in integrity. You got to follow the commands. He's giving them forewarning of all this. In Chronicles 28:7, it says, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. So God's giving us these things. Now, the prophet Jeremiah was prophesying at the same time Ezekiel was. So let's see what how Jeremiah's perspective. This isn't really a forewarning at this point because it's about the same time frame. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdom of the north, says the Lord. They shall come and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all the wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. So Jeremiah is seeing the exact same things. He's giving them the exact. He says, hey, they're worshiping the works of their hands. So now we get to the scripture of where we are. But here's what, before we jump in, we remember, God forewarned them about all these things. He talked to them about all these things that would come upon them if they broke his commands and broke his judgments. It says in Ezekiel chapter 5, it's an illustrated sermon. It says, and you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take it as a barber's razor, and pass it over your head and your beard. Then take scales to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire one third in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are finished. Then you shall take one third and strike it around it with a sword, and one third you shall scatter in the wind. I will draw out a sword after them, and you shall take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them in the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there, a fire will go out into the house of Israel. Did you notice that? That he says there's a third of this, a third of that. There's some by the sword. There's a remnant that will be attached to your clothing that is close to you. So it's an illustrated sermon of what's going to happen to the people of Israel. And so it says this in Ezekiel 5:6. Thus saith the Lord God, that is Jerusalem. So he's now specifying the southern kingdom. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgments. What has she done? She's rebelled against God's judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. So remember all those scriptures from Leviticus and from Chronicles and what we just moved down through? He says, if you do this, if you forget my judgments and you forget my statutes, this is what's going to happen. So let's see what he does. This is Jerusalem multiplied by its disobedience. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are around you. He's saying, I want you to know that you've broken it all. You've done it worse than all the other nations. And, you know, sometimes in this modern day, I'm seeing and hearing people say, well, I can't respect Israel because of how they're behaving or acting. And they usually have some kind of random fact that isn't true. But they have them. And I want to say, well, look at this. In Ezekiel's day, he said that they did it worse than all the other nations. And what we learn about the character of God there is that he is faithful to his people. And there's going to be a small remnant like we see attached to the clothing. So, therefore, thus saith the Lord, first therefore, indeed, I am against you and will execute judgments in your midst of the sight of the nations, and I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. So he's going to execute these judgments that he promised thousands of years before. He says, I'm going to fulfill my word. I'm going to be a man of my word. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in the midst, and sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain, I will scatter to all the winds. Remember, he said some of the hair was going to be scattered or thrown into the wind. So we see, therefore, number three, Verse 11, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all of your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. One third of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed by the famine in your midst, and one third shall be fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter another third to the wind. So at the beginning of the illustrated sermon, he did this these things with the three parts of the hair. And he's saying, hey, this judgment's coming. I've said it 10 times. Maybe I'll say it 11 times. Remember, God forewarned them that he would do these things. And so they did those things. And so now they disobeyed God. So then God's going to fulfill his word. Avenge. Thus saith the Lord your God. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will become avenged. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal, when I have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you, in the sight of all who pass by. So God is saying to them, listen, I told you, you did all these abominational acts, that you worshiped idols, you had false incense, you did all these things, and I'm going to hold to my word. So he says this, so it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonished to the nations that are around you, when I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes, I, the Lord, have spoken. That's number one. God gets angry. He can get furious at times. He can execute his judgments. Number two, when I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which I shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Are you seeing this? Where he says, throw some to the wind, chop up some of the hair with the sword, you know, to others, place in the fire. So what's my point today? In Old Testament Tuesday, we're looking back at God. And I think when we read Ezekiel by itself, we kind of think, man, God is unfair, unjust, unrighteous, extreme. But the reality is, he forewarned them, and therefore he is just to execute these judgments upon them. In fact, he wouldn't be God if he didn't keep his word. The very fact that God keeps his word is a fact that is reassuring to us, because if he doesn't keep his judgments, then he doesn't also have to keep his blessings. If he keeps his judgments and he keeps his blessings, then we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. God keeps his word and is faithful to perform it. Humans can live in such a way that is an abomination to God, and God will keep his word. So as you go into the public square today, my hope is that you're not depressed or downhearted, but you understand we serve a holy God who keeps his word, and his judgments are true. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I do pray that we will see you as a holy God, that you do avenge, that you do take into consideration what you have commanded to be done. We come before you. We repent of the times that we've dishonored you. We have not pleased you. We've lived contrary to you. We want to be cleansed by you, by the blood of the Lamb. We turn to you, the living God, and ask for mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.